Last time I saw you was last year. So Happy New Year, everyone. It's wonderful. I don't know how many of you take the time to watch how every different place, different areas, countries celebrate the what they claim to be the beginning of a new year. I know that all of them were 6 hours late because the year actually starts on the sunset. I was raised in Brazil. As far as my faith, we started in Brazil. And over there, in my state, every single new year on sunset, they invite the youth to come to church. And sometimes they stay for a vigil until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, start the new year with prayer, studying the spirit prophecy. People don't realize that sometimes little things that we do imprint in us an attitude that will last sometimes for the whole year. If you start things right, the greater chance is that it will end right. But sometimes we don't take the time to be preoccupied with opportunities, with open doors that are constantly before our eyes. So what will be the topic most appropriate for the first Sabbath of the year? Of course, today we decide to call opportunity. And the eye is a door. It's intentionally that we did this. The eye and opportunity is a door that I must go through. Now, some of you may know what the word opportunity means because we shared this before with you, but let me give you some details about. How many words do you see in the word opportunity? At least two, if you look carefully, port and unity. As at least the two you can see there, right? But let me say there's three over there. A set of circumstances, that's the definition of what is opportunity. A very general description of what it is a set of circumstances that makes it possible to do something. So opportunity invites doing. There is no opportunity if you do not do something with it. All right? Etymology. Some of you may know what the etymology means. I like that a lot because it analyzes where the word came from. It gives details how it was put together. And I encourage you to, especially if you're young, when you see a word that you do not know, the best way for you to give your brain extra information, go and look for the etymology, where the roots of the word, how the word became. You'll be surprised how much you can learn in one single search. And so I like etymology a lot. Opportunity. This is the first one. Up. It means open. And then port. It means a port or a door. And of course, unity is in the end. So it's open. And then port is actually an open door. Literally, opportunity is an open door. Makes sense, right? That's basically what it is. But if you keep just looking at the word opportunity without knowing this extra meaning to it, you may just skip all opportunities. You run over them without using them properly. So that's why I want every single time during this next 300 some days ahead of you, always to look every day as an open door. Yes? What happens to an open door if you just stand there and do nothing about it? It becomes meaningless, or it becomes something for you to be guilty about later on. So every single time the door is open, there's an opportunity for you, take it and do something with it. Again, words meaning door. This I got from from a little search that I did. It says words meaning door in English include synonyms like portal. You can see the word port there. Portal. Access, opening, and of course, opportunity. That's the words associated with a door. Okay, and here's the guy standing there again. Eventually, he's going to go through. Now, I made this for you to see. You're going to see every single slide. You're going to see an open door. Because I want, after you leave this place, for you to look each day as an open door, as a gift from God, as an opportunity for you to do something with your life. Opportunity. Again, each new day is an open door. So how many open doors do you find in this year? Of course, today is the third already. So now there is 300 and how many? 62. 362 doors is still for you to go through. On prayer meeting, on our prayer last week, I mentioned to the people that were there, I says, you should every single day count the blessing. You say, oh, this is a wonderful day. This is going to be a wonderful day. If you start with that attitude as an open door, because I don't know about you, but there is something psychological about an open door. Every single time we come to a door and the door opens, it brings something positive in our mind. The opposite, when you go through something and you see a wall, a block, or something locked, it causes a little stress in our minds too. So an open door is always a motive for us to rejoice because there's hope, there's communication, there's you can continue the process that you are trying to get involved with. Each new day, it is an open door. Here's this guy standing, and there is an open door where? Symbolically in the sky. The intent here is for us to understand that each new day, we must look to that open door and communicate with the one who actually opens the door for us. Every single day, don't miss the opportunity to look to the open door in the sky, because Abba wants to talk to his kids. And your kid is his favorite one. So talk to him. He is anxious to hear your voice. He is anxious to hear from you. Each day, there are opportunities. They are not open for us, but there are always something there for us to take a step in. Step up. Step in. The Lord is waiting for you to use your opportunities. Sometimes there will be walls. But remember, if you talk to the Lord that opened doors, He will give you the strength to remove those walls and see what is behind is an opportunity. Each new day, here is a Bible text that I want you to pay very close attention to. It says, do not neglect to do good. So what is the purpose for God to open a door each day for us? To do good. For nothing else. Everything else is meaningless. The purpose of each day, each door that God opens for us, is for us to do good. And by the way, it feels good to do good. It is always, believe me, so rewarding when we do good. Because when we do good, we are just like Daddy, like Abba, because He is good. He is good all the time, right? So do not neglect to do good. In other words, do not neglect to be like your Father. Reflect His character. Use every open door to be a blessing to others and to share what you have. Some people, everything that they have, they keep behind closed doors, locked doors. And you know what happened? You live a very miserable life when you have a lot of things but you do not use and don't let anybody else use. So what is the purpose to have a brand new car in your garage if you never drive it? What is the purpose for you to have a savings account when you don't save anything? So use the resources that the Lord grants to you to do a blessing to others. Do good. Be good. For such sacrifices are pleasing to God. If you want to make a sacrifice to God, be good. Do good. That's what God is looking to see in you, in His kids. Hebrews 13, verse 16, New Century Version. Another Bible text. When we have what? No. When we have an open door. Yes, opportunity. When we have an open door to help anyone, what do? We should do it. When the Holy Spirit tells you something, do it. Listen. Go and do good. It feels good. But we should give special attention, especially to those that will be with us forever. Those should be the focus of our attention, our co-believers, our family of believers. Galatians 6, verse 10, New Century Version as well. Now, by the picture, you more or less have an idea what this is all about, right? I want to call your attention to one fact here. This individual was a Samaritan. The guy on the floor, a Jew. The Jewish people hate the Samaritans. Do you know why they hate them? Because they were a mixed race. Everything about them were mixed. Their beliefs, their church, everything. Because they mixed with so much, there was so much paganism in their system that the Jewish people said, in order for me to keep myself pure, I have to keep a distance from them. So, here comes the priest, a Levite, all the religious people, and saw their fellow man there. But they walked and passed. Here comes the individual that is hated. He has reason to say, yeah, he's a Jew. He got what he deserves. But instead, he was moved by compassion because God was inside of his heart. So he stopped and he didn't see that man as a Jew. He saw him as a human being. That's what it means to be good. Don't let race... other gender, age, don't let any distraction to take the opportunity for you to be good. Look every single human being with Jesus' eyes. Every time when you get up in the morning, it says, Lord, this is going to be a great day. May I borrow your eyes so I can see the world with your eyes. I want to look at my neighbor with your eyes, not mine. I want to talk to my brothers and sisters with your voice. I need your touch. I want today, Lord, to be an instrument of miracles. Today is an opportunity for me to be a miracle maker, but I cannot do by myself. Lord, lend me your hands so I can do good. And so the Samaritan who was on a journey came where the man was. But when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. Compassion is a gift that can only be possible if God is inside. The God of outside does not move us. The God who moves us is the God that is inside. The God that resides in you, if you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. When you have God in you, then the people will be able to see. Luke 10, verse 33, this is a contemporary English Bible. Continue, Jesus said this. While it is what? Daytime or daylight. Why? He is saying that. Use the opportunity when there is time to do it, because it's going to get dark when you cannot do anything. But there is a light out. Be a light also. Shine, because the light is there. Use every day. You must continue doing the work of the one who sent me. I want you to be like me. Do what I do, so we can all honor our Heavenly Father together. Night is coming. Does night come? Every day the night will come. But you know what? It's good that the night comes. You know why? Because that's when we recharge. So the next day will be a great day again if we are. But have you seen people that do not rest in the night? And during the day, is as miserable as it can be? There are people who has a long face. During the whole day, they are miserable. Everything irritates them because they did not rest well. So they don't have the energy. So what comes out is the negative energy. Anger, impatience, all those things. So that's why it's so important for us to rest well. Because when we rest well, we are making investment in the next day. Every night is investment to the next day. Sleep well. Sometimes, and here goes the pastor. I'm going to put a punch here a little bit, but I'm not going to apologize. I'm just going to say what I have to say. Some Seventh-day Adventists have a very bad habit. Very, very bad habit. They beginning the Sabbath by breaking the Sabbath. How they break the Sabbath? They stay late, very late, because next day they don't have to go to work. Yes, they do, but they do not know. They don't want to be late for their work when they work for men. But they don't care about being late when they come to work for God. That's bad, isn't it? The best time for you to go to bed, it is maybe 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. But when you start passing 10 o'clock, your body is already being punished. And then what is happening? The next day, the energy you did not get, you're going to be in church. Why? Because you are tired. You needed to rest well. Because when you rest well, your mind are able to be fed. When you don't rest well and come to church, you may not be as friendly as you think you are. You may be irritated about every little thing. You may be coming with a complaining about any detail. Or the bulletin has not the right color. Or the screen or the law. And we don't realize what makes us have that kind of attitude is because we are not properly rested. When we have a low energy, we are as not as good to be around, if you know what I mean. So please, well, is the daytime, do what is you're supposed to do the day, but when the night comes, rest. Rest well, because when you rest well, you eat well. Some people don't realize also another thing. If I would ask, do you eat shrimp? I hope all of you say no. If I say, do you eat pork? You probably say, oh, no, I don't. And then I will ask, why not? Oh, because that is unclean, Pastor. I was talking to someone who is not a Seventh-day Adventist, and he says, I love shrimp. That's what he said. And I told him, I gave him a Bible, and I gave him a book with a Seventh-day Adventist doctrine. It's a very thick one. I gave him as a gift, and I told him, study this. And I don't want to make you into, for you to belong to my church. I want you to belong to God. I want you to know about him so that you know what you should be like. So he said, but I love shrimp. And he said that a few times. And then I told him, but it's not good for you. And then following the next day, he came and talked to me. It looks like it did bother him when I said that it's not good for you. He says, by the way, is it sin to eat shrimp? So I thought, if I tell him it is, he's going to think that I'm just making a religious statement. So I changed the subject. I didn't change, but it looks like I changed. I said to him, I asked him this question. Do you think that to kill someone is a sin? I thought that he was distracted, but he says, oh, I know where you're going with this. I said, no. Do you think to kill someone is a sin? He says, definitely it is. What about if you kill yourself? Is that a sin also? Oh, boy, are you going to tell me that eating shrimp is sin? I said, anything you put in your body that will jeopardize the greatest gift that you have, which is life, it is a sin. Everything that you do, sleeping deprivation, food, or that food junk, or the way you drink, every single thing, you have to ask yourself, am I using opportunity to have a better life or a bitter life? Am I making things better or I make things worse? With the words that I use, the food that I take, the drinks, the rest, what I'm doing with my life? Am I investing in eternity or I am just diminishing this gift, which is life that God gave to me? Use every day as an opportunity to glorify the Almighty. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, New Century Version says this. Paul says, preach the good news. Which is the good news anyway? Anybody knows what the good news is? In a simple terms, is everlasting life in Christ Jesus. That's what it is. Be ready at all times, starting today, and tell people what they need to do. Tell them when they are wrong. That's hard, but compassion, be careful. You know, sometimes people tell people that they are wrong in a wrong way. So instead of making things better, they make things worse. So when you want to tell somebody that they are doing something wrong, go with compassion. When you love somebody so much that you are not afraid to tell them that they are wrong something, they will notice that you love them. But if you go there just to be saying that you're wrong and I'm right, then you're going to get things worse. Encourage them with great patience. How? With great patience. By the way, patience can only be possible if compassion comes first. Great patience and carefully teaching. Carefully, you see? Not careless. Not people just trying to tell people they are wrong just for the sake to tell them wrong. See, I'm better. No, you're not. But you may think you are. Jeremiah 8, verse 20, New King James Version says this. The harvest is past. Now let me tell a true story. In my hometown, there was evangelism. An evangelist, and he shared this story. It's a story that he was familiar with. He said that he came to a church to give an evangelist series, and there was a mother that was always first sitting right in front, and she has her son beside her. And sometimes she would come, but the son would not show up. Sometimes the preaching was going on and it was about to finish, then the son will come and sit beside the mother. But there are a few days that the son disappeared. He didn't show. So the preacher approached the mother and says, is that the young man that sits beside you, your son? I said, yes. Where is he? And she said, he is angry. And he said to me that he was not to come here anymore. He doesn't want anything to do with God because he doesn't want to change his life. And then they said, what about if I, do you mind if I go and talk to him? I says, don't try, because I mentioned to him that I was going to bring you here, and he doesn't want anything. He completely want anything to do with religion. He says, it's too much, don't do, and I'm young, I'm free, and so he didn't want to come. One day, continue the meetings, a police officer showed up as the individual was preaching. A police officer showed up at the back door and made signs to the preacher, and they said, yes, officer, is so-and-so here? And the lady stood up, said, ma'am, come with me. And as they stepped outside, the police officer said, we have somebody that was involved in an accident, and I believe he is your son. Please come with me. He's in the hospital. So they took to the hospital, and the preacher stopped and went with them to the hospital. When they got to the hospital, he saw the mother. He recognized the mother, and the mother said, I brought the preacher here to pray with you, to help you, and he was in a very bad shape. And so the preacher started praying for him and said to him, accept, young man, Jesus Christ in your life. He is the life that you need. Accept him. And then they heard in a very soft voice the young man saying this verse, the harvest is past, the summer is ended. And he said, and I am not saved. The preacher kept telling him, don't give up. God has compassion. He can save you. Accept him. Today is the day. Say, I accept him. And he kept repeating, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And I'm not saved. The mother begged him, and each time his voice was fading away, but he kept repeating this until his last breath. He did not change his mind. He says, I'm not saved. Honestly, we do not know that he is not saved, because we don't know how far God's grace can reach. We don't know his state of mind, but that's the way he chose. He kept saying, I had my chance, I didn't take it, now it's too late. Brothers and sisters, every single day the Lord has a door open right beside you. Don't leave it for tomorrow. Tomorrow belongs only to fools. To the wise, today is the gift for the wise. Tomorrow is the gift for the fools, because the fools always talks about tomorrow, nothing about today. So please don't be a fool. Take the door. Get in. Use that opportunity. A wise son's harvest in the summer. A disgraceful son sleeps right through the harvest. And we met some of them, those, don't we? I have met people that I like to sleep through the harvest, to anything. They just, Proverbs 10, verse 5, Contemporary English Bible. Every day is an opportunity. Harvest well. Plant well, harvest well. For some of our senior lady is here. I decided to put this lady here. And I like to say this in Proverbs 31:26, New Living Translation says this. When she speaks, her words are wise. That happens with experience, with time. And she gives instructions with kindness. In other words, she uses every single opportunity to be a blessing to those that the Lord put under her care. Her husband will be proud of her. Her children will call her blessed. Ladies, use every single day as a gift, as an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. I'm blessed to have a wife, beautiful wife, kind, gentle, and cooks well. And every one of you have someone beside you. Use this opportunity now to say to this person, thank you for being part of my life. Go ahead. Thank you for being part of my life. It is a blessing to have someone. Believe me, I have been for a great part of my life, and I'm not saying this to gain sympathy or anything else. Please don't even go there. I'm saying this just for if somebody here can relate to, it will be a blessing to you. I spent a lot of time having nobody. You know, going to church, finish the church, go home, and there's nothing there. It is not very, very pleasant to be alone. So please embrace this gift that you have somebody in your life. Be kind to those that the Lord has put in. It's sometimes hard because we see that person all the time, and sometimes it's, but it is still valid to say, I'm grateful that I have a gift. I have received this gift of somebody who loves me and cares about me. Yes, every relationship is an open door. Don't lock it. Okay, Revelation 3, verse 8, talking to those in the church of Philadelphia, New Living Translation, the Lord says this, I know all the things you do. In order for him to know all the things we do, he has to be with us every day. So look what it says and read what is you think this is not saying. I am with you every day. That's why I know everything you do. And I have opened a door for you. I'm the one who creates opportunities for you that no one can close. Oh, isn't that beautiful? The Lord gives you opportunities that nobody can take away except you. So you can become your worst enemy. Please be wise. You have little strength, I know, yet you obey my word and did not deny me. May this be a true statement of each one of you. Do you know what the word Philadelphia means, right? The brothers. It's a very, very appropriate terminology to refer to us as a Christian family. We are Philadelphia. We are brothers in Christ. We have the same faith. We have the same opportunities. And we have the same one who opens the doors for us. Because he says, I am the door. He not only opened the door, but he says, I am the door. And you know that some of you may know what the word religion means, literally. If you look at the etymology of the word religion, means comes from religare, means to bring back, to connect again. In other words, a symbol of an open door. Religion is an open door for us to relate to each other. Each new day, be wise in the way you act with people who are not believers. Make the most of each open door. Right? Sometimes, how do we deal with our neighbors? Do our neighbors know that we have faith? Do our neighbors know that we love Christ? Use every single opportunity to show them who you are. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, New Century Version. Each new day, each new person, it must be an opportunity to witness about Christ. Now, what do you see here? Probably a sign that rain is over, the sun is coming out. Let me give you another picture. Who do you think this guy is? Or was? No, he still is because he's dead, but all right. Each new day, he stood up before his neighbors and told them, rain is coming. And every one of his neighbors says, here comes the cuckoo. Here comes the individual who is out of this planet. What in the world is going on with him? By the way, he was a Seventh-day Adventist. Did you know that? No. Are you sure? Do you know that he was a Seventh-day Adventist? Yes, he was. Each new day for 120 years. That's a long preaching. For 120 years, he kept telling the same. I wonder if in 1 year, after 1 year, you would say, oh, Lord, these people, they're stubborn. They don't listen to me. Why am I wasting my time? All this energy. I could be building something else. I could be doing something else. Why in the world? The Lord told him, do it. He didn't question. I must do what I'm being told. That is an attitude of somebody who is wise, somebody who is humble, somebody who is a servant, and somebody who can lead. You cannot lead unless you follow. Sometimes people think that everybody should follow me, but I don't follow anybody. It doesn't work that way. Opportunity means that you open a door for others so that others may follow. Are you familiar with this picture? Do you know what this is? An opportunity. And the door will be open in the sky. And the door himself will come. He is coming with billions and billions and billions of angels. But the text says this in Matthew 24, 37 to 39, New King James. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, what happened to the people? Why they didn't listen to Noah? Because they were eating. When people are eating, they don't listen. And because people are drinking, they don't listen when they are drinking either. And they are marrying and giving themselves into marriage. They don't listen to anybody else. Until the day that Noah entered the ark. The door was open. Noah went in. All the animals went in. And a lot of animals stay outside yelling, you cuckoo, it's not going to rain, never did before. So some animals that did not reason went in. But the animals that are supposed to reason stay out. And continue, verse 39, and did not know until the flood came and took them away. So also will be when Jesus Christ comes. Are you taking the opportunity? Are you becoming an open door? I hope so, brothers and sisters. Now, Sister Cheryl, she is sharing with the children here today and to all of us, we all children, about the Sabbath. She mentioned the Sabbath. There is a text in the Bible that all of you should visit maybe every week. Memorize it. Isaiah 58, verse 13. New King James Version says this. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, in other words, don't step on the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, a door that I want to go through, not to go away from, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor find your own pleasure. This is how we worship the door. This is how every week we are reminded that every Sabbath is an opportunity for us to connect to the Almighty and also to His kids. Yes? Look beside you. Abba's kids. So even say, not speaking your own words. Be careful what you wish for on the Sabbath. Be careful what you stalk in the Sabbath. By the way, the Lord doesn't want you to be a straight jacket on the Sabbath. It looks like, oh, today's the Sabbath. Oh. The Lord wants you to learn to develop a relationship with Him on the Sabbath, that the Sabbath will be enjoyable, honorable. We don't have to talk about our weekly business on the Sabbath. Learn the Sabbath vocabulary, the words that are proper for the Sabbath. One individual used the word opportunity in a wrong context. He said, maybe this will be an opportunity for me to make money. Do you have an idea what I'll be talking about now? Who wants to use the opportunity to make money? Mark 14, verse 11, New Living Translation says this. They were delighted when they heard why he had come. This is the people that were enemies of Christ. And one of Christ's so-called disciples came to tell them, let's negotiate. Can you give me some money? And I will give you him. So he became looking for opportunity to betray Jesus. I'm going to be very brief with the negativity of the word opportunity. Sometimes we say that there is opportunity. I like to use opportunity in a positive sense. But the enemy also used the word opportunity in a negative sense. He used the open doors in order to do his destructive work as well. And this was one example. So he went to them, and what happened? Luke 26, verse 6, New Living Translation says, so he agreed and began to looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus so they could arrest him when the crowds were not around. Here it comes. Again, it says in Matthew 26, all the Gospels talking about 26, 16, New Living Translation. From that time on, Judas began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Why I'm using this in this context of the sermon? Because sometimes an open door that's supposed to be for good, if we are not guided by the right spirit, we may use that opportunity to be destructive. When you come to the church, it's an opportunity for you to do good. But sometimes in church, the enemy may turn that opportunity into a negative experience. When somebody says, how many people were there in church? Some people look to the empty seat. But some people will look to the seats that are being occupied. Some people look in a cup that is half full and say it is half full. And some people say it's half empty. Every opportunity you can be used to grow or to destroy yourself with. Judas had an opportunity to be, he could have written a book, one of the Gospels, because he was educated enough to do it. And yet, he was so consumed with a desire to please self that he missed an opportunity to be great. Nobody wants to be called Judas today, do you? No, even though the name Judas actually is a beautiful name. The J in Judas is for Yahweh. It's a form of Judah. It's a blessing. His name was supposed to be a blessing. And yet, because he misused the opportunity, he kicked the door down, the door that was open for him to be great. It turned into a negative thing. The doors that the Lord opened before you today, use it to be a blessing. Don't misuse. Now, what do you see in this picture? There is three pictures here. A door that is open. Then there are another door, arch that the young people came from Judah. They were there as prisoners. They could be there miserable. And yet, the Lord used that opportunity. And because of that situation, we have the book of Daniel, one of the most precious books in the Bible. If you talk to anyone who knows about prophecy, it's a key. It's a very important book in the Bible. It tells us about the future, the past and the future. Now, Daniel and his friends came to be prisoners, taken away from their home. Daniel never went back. He lived until he died in Babylon. The other picture, the statue of gold there that you see, those are the three friends of Daniel. Remember what they were told. Here is an opportunity for you to be great forever in this kingdom. All you have to do is compromise just a little bit. Don't worry, the pastor cannot see. The pastor is not here. He's still there in Judah. Don't worry, your family is not around. Nobody else knows who you are here. Just bow down just a little bit. You don't have to go all the way like everybody. Just do like a little bit like this. That's fine. Just a little bit, just a little sign. Have you feel tempted to bow just a little bit? Be careful, because the devil will not miss any opportunity to make you bow just a little bit. Not enough for all the people to see. Just a little bit so nobody else can see, only you know about it. Be careful. Don't bow down ever. Because once that you bow down, that is the beginning of the fall. You won't stop. You won't be able to come back. So don't go there. Romans 8:28 says this. When disaster comes, because it will come to all of us, difficult times will come. Say, we know that all things, how much? All things, God works for good for those who love him, those whom he has called according to his purpose. Have you heard the call? You have. The reason why you're here is because you heard the call. And praise God, you listened to that call, you came. You are called according to his purpose. What is his purpose? For you to have eternal life. There is a Bible text in the Bible that I want you to do this afternoon as a homework. Look in the Bible, and I'll give you a hint. It was in Ecclesiastes, okay? That's all that I want to give you. It says that everything that God has created is eternal. And put yourself into that little list. Everything. Include yourself on the word everything. Everything that God has created is meant to be eternal, because that's his nature. So everything he created is forever. So this is his purpose. He creates you to be eternal. Matthew 24:13. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Endurers will be saved. Salvation has to do with endurance. Stay focused. There are too many days ahead of us. Each day as an opportunity for you to do good. Be good, and it will be a good year. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. He's talking about you, kid. Pay attention, please, because God is talking about you. The Lord directs the steps of you, His kids. He delights in every detail of your life. Though there will be some difficult times, they will never fall. For the Lord holds them by the right hand. Isaiah 41:10. Psalm 37, 23, 24. Mark this in your Bible, please. Do mark this in your Bible. Read this afternoon. The Lord directs my steps. The Lord delights in everything of my life. Yes, the Lord knows that even if I stumble, I will not fall because I'm holding His hand. I am holding His hand. So be careful how you live, brothers and sisters. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days ahead of us. Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16. May the Lord bless you to embrace every opportunity as a gift for eternal life. Let's all get to heaven. As we all going to get to heaven. Are we? Oh, some of you are sure. Are we?
Yes.
Are we going to all get to heaven?
Yes.
One step at a time. Let's stand up and sing together.